Well, this morning we examine the final stretch of Jesus' journey to the cross. It's come down to this. It's a familiar path for each of us. I can't even recall how many sermons I've given on this subject of the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. I could assure you it's dozens. And sometimes you have to say, how can I create something new? Well, there's no need to create anything new because the story of old still holds true to this very day. Of all my trips to Israel, and I've been there 13 times, only once I was in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And it was quite interesting on that trip to see the pilgrims marching through the streets of the old city of Jerusalem, waving palm branches. It was a great festive atmosphere that was going on that particular day in the old city of Jerusalem. And I just thought of Jesus on that day, what it must have been like for him to enter into the city of David. Jesus left Mary and Martha in Bethany. He had raised Lazarus from the dead, as was described in the scriptures. The Pharisees saw that. I would imagine if you saw somebody raise somebody from the dead, you would become a believer yourself. And so the crowds were just caught up in this incredible atmosphere of miracles and this great individual, Jesus of Nazareth, that he actually brought Lazarus out of the tomb. And so he travels from Bethany. It's a short distance from Bethany to Jerusalem. And where it leaves you from where Bethany is, it leaves you on the top of the Mount of Olives. And if you've ever been to Israel, Carol, I know you've been there, and Helen and Jennifer. Our most recent trip, you went with my wife and I. That's a beautiful place to wind up, is on the top of the Mount of Olives, because it overlooks the beautiful old city of Jerusalem. And I would imagine that Jesus had great memories of that spot, because it was a place that he traveled many times with his family, going to the High Holy Days in Jerusalem. When we were in Israel, every group that goes to Israel takes a group photo from that very location. You all get together, and you got the Dome of the Rock behind you, and it's a fantastic view. But Jesus would have remembered that spot, because he would have remembered traveling from way up north, from Nazareth, with all of those families down to the city of Jerusalem, and that long journey, and how it must have felt to come out of the desert places into the great city of David and to see that view. And I would imagine that Jesus must have paused there for a moment before he descended down into the city of Jerusalem. You know, to come out of the desert place and then to see the beautiful ancient city of Jerusalem is breathtaking, even to this very day. When you see that view, it just takes your breath away. There was excitement in the air. You know, today if you go into that Mount of Olives place, instead of seeing the temple, the great temple that was enhanced by a crazy man, but it was a fantastic architect, was Herod the Great. What he did to that temple, how beautiful it was before the Romans destroyed it in 70 AD. But today, as you ride up on the Mount of Olives, you see the Dome of the Rock and that shiny gold dome with the Middle Eastern sun shining off of it. It's an amazing sight to behold. Well, as Jesus rode in, instead of the Dome of the Rock, he would have seen the beautiful facade of the great temple where all devout Jews would go on the High Holy Days. And the sun would have been bouncing off of the temple facade, which would have been a beautiful sight to see. Jesus had traveled that road to Jerusalem many times since he was a little boy, but this time was different. As you read the scriptures, you come to know there was something different about this trip than any previous trip that he had taken. On that day, instead of walking into the city of Jerusalem, which he had done dozens of times with his disciples, he rode in on the backside of a donkey. Instead of walking along the crowd and mixing in, which he would have done before, unnoticed, Jesus enters, surrounded by the throngs of people, waving palm branches and throwing their cloaks in front of him and shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It will become to be known by the church as Jesus' triumphant entry. But to the secular world, those who do not believe, they would see it more as an entry of defeat than an entry of triumph. Because in human form, he would never walk that road again. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, that was the last time that he would enter that city as a human. Jesus traveled that road and he knew exactly what was going to happen, even though nobody else did. He knew what he was heading to on that day. The people were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And by the end of the week, many of these people would be shouting, "Crucify him." In just a few short days, it would go from praise to crucify him. But for now, he's welcomed as a triumphant king. For now, they're laying down their cloaks and they're waving their palm branches. But by week's end, he will be tied to a crossbeam of a cross to suffer and to die. Jesus didn't get caught up in the moment. Some people, it would have gone to their heads, like a rock star or a movie star or somebody that enters a scene and people are just singing their praises of an individual. No, it didn't. It didn't affect him. He didn't get caught up in the moment because he knew where this road was leading him. He knew where he was headed. Now that we're looking down that road in retrospect, where do we find ourselves? What is it that we see in this story of Jesus entering Jerusalem? Is Palm Sunday just a day when we convert these fronds of palms into little crosses that we hang on our calendars or on the refrigerator? Is that all that this means, Palm Sunday? What does this day in the life of the church mean for each of us? Why we're here this morning? Why we've come to celebrate this day? The unfolding of Scripture being fulfilled took place on this very road that we're considering this morning. The king comes gently riding on the backside of a donkey, just as Zechariah the prophet said in Zechariah 9:9. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. It said the Savior would enter the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. And on that day, that's what happened. So as we stand on that road, we see Jesus' gentle nature. We see his humility. We see his determination. Even though in the end he says, "If it's your will, Lord, take this cup from me." But he was still willing to lay down his life for you and for me. We see unconditional love on the part of Jesus on that day. One would think that an entering triumphant king would enter on the backside of a white stallion, just as Alexander the Great had done years before. But Jesus enters on a donkey. Everything the people expected was opposite. He didn't enter to offer political freedom. Jesus entered to offer spiritual freedom and redemption. Many that day thought he was a political king who was going to get them out from the foot of the Romans. But that's not why he entered Jerusalem. There are some things that we have in common with them on that day in Jerusalem. Whether we realize it or not, all of us here this morning or watching online, we're on a road to somewhere. We're headed somewhere with our lives. We may not know the road of life that we're on. Some people just drift. Some people just live their lives from day to day. But we're on a road. We are definitely on a road. But it's more than just getting from point A to point B without a GPS. There's a purpose that Jesus wants us to embrace this morning. I like to see my life not so much on a road, but I like to view my life more of a journey. And as I journey through life, I don't want to journey alone. Do you know human beings were created to be in relationship? I want to journey my life with my wife. I hope you want to journey with me. But you know, even more important than your spouse or someone you love, I want to journey my life with Jesus.
Amen.
I want Jesus to journey with me through my life. Now, you know, I can see the finish line at this stage of my life. 30 years ago, it was vague. But whatever God has given me left, I want to journey with Him. I remember in the 60s, and I know a lot of you are too young to remember the 60s, but it was a pop culture of that day that expressed that the world revolved around the individual. It was all about me. How many remember the rock group, The Animals? First of all, I think that's a crazy name to name your group. But they were a good group. But they sang a song, "It's My Life and I'll Do What I Want." It's my life and I'll do what I want. And you know what? That was the mantra of the day in the 60s. It's my life. I'll do whatever I want. I don't care what the authorities say. I don't care what my parents say. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what the cops say. It's my life. And I'll do what I want. But you see, if you believe the Bible, our lives are not our own. Our lives belong to Jesus Christ. And our mantra needs to be, it's my life, Lord, and you can do what you want with my life. That goes completely opposite of the way society is, the way culture is. It's very different when you surrender your life to Christ. You see, when Jesus passes by on our road of life, and he gently stares into our eyes, those gentle eyes of Jesus, we begin to be reshaped and reformed and renewed and remolded into a disciple that reflects his character and not that of the world. And when that happens, our life is no longer our own. Our life is there for him. But it then becomes all about him. It then becomes all about others. Before service this morning, I was talking to Barbara in my office, and we were talking about Mother Teresa. And one day she was being shown around Buckingham Palace by Princess Diana. They were very close, by the way. Princess Diana had sort of a Mother Teresa's heart. And she's showing her all the tapestries and the artwork. And finally, Mother Teresa says, "You know how many beds I could fit in this place?" She said, "I could get so many people who are suffering into this Buckingham Palace." You see, Mother Teresa was a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And so she lived her life out as Jesus would have her live her life. We begin to look through his lenses and not our own. Self-centeredness and selfishness was put on us on the fall in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus offers us a new path to journey down. You see, when you embrace the Lord, then it's not about you and it's not about me. It becomes about the one who gave his life for us, about what he wants to do with our lives and in our lives and through our lives. Mother Teresa is just an example of that. That is why 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price." And that is why Jesus entered Jerusalem that day 2,000 years ago. Why we've come here to celebrate Palm Sunday. He entered Jerusalem to pay a price, to pay a ransom for you and for me. If you received him as your Lord and Savior, and I hope you all have, you've been redeemed with a price, the very blood and the life of Jesus Christ that he laid down for us. He paid the price. He paid it all. He redeemed us of our sins. Jesus was riding down that road to Jerusalem to pay it all. I don't want that road to become a familiar road. I hope that road into Jerusalem does not become a familiar thing that every year we come to church to get our palms. Jesus doesn't want us to be comfortable, friends. He wants to shake us out of our comfortable place, our comfort zone. On one of my trips to Israel, I walked down that road that he would have taken. And for those of you who have been to Israel, you remember that from the top of the Mount of Olives, you take this road down, and at the bottom of the road, it leads you to the garden. The Garden of Gethsemane is at the bottom of that road. And I kept thinking about my Lord that day. He knew why he was going into Jerusalem, even though no one else knew. And I know now, and you know why he entered Jerusalem. And I don't want to forget. I find great comfort in recognizing that Jesus still knows. He knew his journey that day and where it was taking him. And he knows our journey and where he's taking us, you and me. And he travels with us through this life every step of the way. The good times and the bad times. The tough times and the easy times. The sad times and the joyous times. He's there for us. I find great comfort in recognizing that truth. You see, the world is coming up with tantalizing and attractive options concerning our journey. It's so easy to be pulled to the left and to the right. There's so much bling out there that could attract us off of the path that Jesus has created for us. And I want to tell you, some of these options are very appealing. But Jesus knows better. And when we adhere to his word and listen to his gentle instructions and his gentle voice, he steers us along the path that leads to life. Knowing this, Jesus deserves our very best. Jesus deserves our oil. And we can lay down palm branches and cloaks this morning, but Jesus, more than palm branches and cloaks, Jesus wants us to lay down our lives for him. To lay down our lives. He wants us to give him our best, to give him our gifts and our talents, to give him our choice time, not what's left over. These are the ways that we can honor him for traveling that road into Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago today. You know, we all sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. We sing that hymn, where he leads me, I will follow. Well, he's leading us on our journey of life. He's leading us to witness to our coworkers. He's leading us to help the poor. He's leading us to build up the body of Christ. He's leading us to a life of service and not just receiving, but also giving away. He's leading us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He's leading us to a life of being able to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. He's leading us to a life void of gossip and bitterness and self-centeredness. He's leading us to a life of worship and praise and meditation and reflection. And yes, he's leading us to a life of repentance. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. Changing of our mind, changing of our heart, changing of our ways, our behavior, our lifestyle, changing our very lives. So friends, at the heart of Palm Sunday is more than handing out palms, though I am grateful that we do have palms this morning. I saved these, and there's a place in our living room. I place it over a cross to remind me of this day. But at the heart of Palm Sunday is a path. It's a path that leads to Jesus' suffering and death. But it's a path that also leads to his resurrection and his triumph over sin and death and to life. And in hindsight, as people of the resurrection, he's leading us on a path of life with him. And so we need to say this morning, of course it's a choice, right on, Lord, and we'll be right there with you. We're going all the way. We're not going halfway with this faith thing. We're not just going to have a Sunday faith. We're not just going to have an Easter faith, a Christmas faith, a Palm Sunday faith, a Holy Thursday faith, a Good Friday faith, a Lent faith, an Advent faith. We're going to have a faith that journeys with you every single day of our life. And as we travel with you on this path you set before us, we will begin to look more and more like you. And people will begin to see you in us. And we will make a difference in our world because you made a difference in our lives. Amen. And so, Father, this morning on this Palm Sunday, we reflect. We reflect on how our Jesus, he could have run. He could have left Bethany, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He could have headed back up to Galilee and hid away and avoided. But he chose to enter the city knowing full well the price that he was going to pay for our redemption. The Romans didn't nail him to the cross, Lord. The Pharisees didn't nail him to the cross. We did. He took that upon himself. And so on this Palm Sunday, yes, we could shout Hosanna in the highest. We could sing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's all good, Lord. But we're also reminded of what happens this week and the price he paid so that we might be redeemed and reconciled with you. And for that, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.